Launched in 2006, the Nintendo Wii was very much a product of its time, a transitionary period between standard definition and high definition when a lot of gamers, myself included, were still gaming on CRT TVs, and in a lot of cases, not even widescreen ones at that. In fact, the very first console to offer HDMI output was the Sony PlayStation 3, launched that very same year, with the Xbox 360 catching up the following year in 2007, but of course, they were much higher end consoles aimed at a completely different target market. And actually, when it came down to it, at the time, the lack of HDMI output didn't really hold the Wii back. Most TVs didn't support it anyway, and it was often purchased as a much lower cost second console as a companion to one of the more high-end offerings, or indeed a console for kids or even older people using those motion controls to stay active. Now, fast forward to 2025, and the Wii is a really fantastic buy. You can pick them up for next to nothing, they have a fantastic catalogue of games available that, again, you can pick up for next to nothing, and those motion controls have aged incredibly well. But one aspect of the Wii that hasn't aged well, of course, is that video output. Thankfully, there is a solution called the Electron AVE, or AVE HDMI, when I purchased it with my own money well over a year ago. But first, let's take a look at the different video output options to see how they compare. And first up, we have composite video, the good old yellow, red, and white connectors that we see here. And indeed, the way that us CRT TV gamers enjoyed the Wii back in the day. Of course, this was perfectly fine, sat across the other side of the room on a CRT TV in standard definition. But as you can see, by today's standards, this is absolutely abysmal. And it's not really well supported by modern TVs. Yes, they can accept it as an input, but generally the scalers built into these TVs, particularly lower end panels, do leave a lot to be desired. I mean, I am doing my absolute best here by running this through the RetroTINK 5X, which is one of the best upscalers you can get, but yeah, as you can see, this is not a pleasant experience at all by 2025 standards. Next up, we have component video, and this is again via an official cable offered by Nintendo back in the day. And as you can see, it is an improvement on the composite video that we saw before. It's 480p resolution this time, and the fact that it splits the colours off into separate channels does mean that we get a higher quality signal. This was supported by some higher end CRTs back in the day, as well as rear projection TVs, if you remember those, and is generally still supported by a lot of flat panel displays, and it's a pretty good option if that's what you have available to you, but it is still an analog signal, which of course is going to result in a loss of quite a bit of quality. Finally, we do have some unofficial HDMI options, like this Wii 2 HDMI adapter here, and these are very, very common, they're very low cost, they're quite easy to pick up, and they're a good solution, to be fair, if you have a modern display with an HDMI input. The trouble with these is they take that component video output from the Wii, and they convert it to digital and pipe it out over HDMI, so we're still dealing with converting a digital signal to analog and then back again, which again does result in some loss of quality. So as you've seen, the weakest link in the chain is always that digital to analog conversion. And unfortunately, that's always going to be the case with these early models of Wii, because Nintendo didn't offer any kind of digital video output from them. A very perplexing decision indeed, considering they did with the GameCube. But anyway, that's where this mod comes in, because it takes the digital output from the Wii's video chip, pipes it out over HDMI to your modern display, and keeps everything looking rather crispy. Now, this isn't an install for the faint of heart. There is some very, very fine soldering involved, and the Wii is quite a complicated console to tear down and put back together, as you will see in this video. You'll also have to modify the case ever so slightly just to make a small hole for that mini HDMI port. But to be honest, that's pretty much the least of your worries. Now, this mod is based on a previous project called GC Video, so big shout out to them. Of course, that was designed with the GameCube in mind. And if you are going to tackle this project, you will also need a tri-wing screwdriver, of course, because this is a Nintendo console and they're obsessed with tri-wing screws for some bizarre reason. And finally, to be able to access the on-screen menus for the GC video, you will also need a GameCube controller if you have an early model of Wii like this that supports those. If you don't, there is an optional infrared module that you can install that works with a universal remote to allow you to go into that setup menu and configure the GC video. Yeah, it's a pretty involved mod, but as you'll see from this video, I did get there in the end. Sorry to interrupt, but if you're a fan of electronics tinkering like I am, you'll no doubt appreciate the services of this channel's sponsor, PCBWay.com. PCBWay has over 10 years of experience in the PCB fabrication business. But did you know that they've also recently started offering complimentary services, including CNC machining, injection moulding, and 3D printing? If any of those are a requirement for your next project, please do check out the link to PCBWay down in the description. Now, on with the mod. So here is our Nintendo Wii, and the first thing that we need to do is to determine which hardware revision it is, because that affects how we're actually going to be hooking up the kit. Now, it turns out that's actually quite easy. All we need to do is take out this battery cover, and there should be a code inside here. Now, I must admit, I've never done this before, so hopefully it's in there. And there we go. So that's just a bog standard 2032 coin cell battery in there for the clock. And inside here, there should be a code, which I can't quite see. Right, this is going to be impossible to show on camera, but I will show you a photo. As you can see, there are a list of codes here, and mine is actually 20, so that makes it an RVL CPU 20. So the first couple of things we need to remove are these flaps on the top, and these are for the GameCube backwards compatibility functionality. So these earlier models of Wii were actually backwards compatible with the GameCube controllers and memory cards, and this is where they actually slot in, and they are covered by some nice tidy flaps here to keep everything nice and tidy. So just to remove these screws in the top. So hopefully, as you can see, and as previously mentioned, you will need a tri-wing screwdriver for a few of the screws in the Wii. It's one of Nintendo's favourite anti-tamper measures. Of course, they are quite widely available nowadays. And thankfully, my iFixit screwdriver does include them. So yeah, these are the next couple of screws to come out. I think there's just four for this top panel. And apparently, according to the guide, some of the screws are under these rubber feet, although not all of the feet have screws under them. There we go. So that one has a tri-wing in there. I'm not quite sure if you can see that. It's a tri-wing screw in there. So yeah, just remove all of those. And my tri-wing screwdriver isn't long enough. Great start. There we go. Plan B. There doesn't seem to be any kind of rhyme or reason as to which screws are Phillips and which are tri-wing. Well, this one's Phillips. Oh. There's another tri-wing. Uh-huh. Right, looks like we have our...